Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Ross has all the spring deals you want, so you can say yes to more looks for you and your budget. Tube tops for less? Yes. Dad shorts for the weekend? Yes. Mini skirts for less than online? That's a yes for you and your bank account. Find your certified yes for me moment and save 20 to 60% off department store prices every day at Ross. Hurry in for spring deals today. Items and styles vary by store.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Are we not the bestest of friends already?
Only in media.
Hello, everyone. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was game one, and we're here to do a little bit of stargazing afterwards. Mark, game one is in the books. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling tired.
It's these late starts, man.
Seems like, you know, Vegas games just wear me out.
I think if you ask the Stars, they'd feel the same way. Of course, the big news, right? The sole topic is the Dallas Vegas series kicked off last night with Vegas winning 4-3, prevailing over the home team. And Mark, the interesting thing to me is that I feel like this was a game where you could make literally any narrative claim and find parts of the game to support, right? If you want to point at this, like if you're Pete DeBoer and you want to motivate your guys and talk about all the good you did, like you could very much point at this game and make the case that the Stars are in good shape. And if you were a doom and gloomer, you could look at this game and point at it and make the case that the Stars are doomed and everything in between. It really felt like a result that encompasses all possible outcomes. Am I just crazier, I guess?
I mean, I feel like I kind of predicted this game.
I feel like you absolutely predicted it with your stupid Minnesota last year comp, by the way, sir.
Well, and it kind of worked out that way. And so I'm still kind of on the bandwagon here saying that the Stars got kicked around in the teeth a little bit, especially in the first period. They righted themselves. They got a little used to the physicality of it. They started implementing their offense. A few things they need to work on. They need to know that the easiest way to get the puck to the net is not through bodies, but potentially finding holes. But yeah, the Stars, I think, can feel okay with this, in spite of the fact that they're down one game.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. We're going to get into kind of what happened. We'll talk a little bit about game two. Before we get there, though, Mark, BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB to golf to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, where the game starts. And Mark, the game last night could not have started much worse for the Dallas Stars. They were in the hole early. And let me lead with this, right? On a scale of yay to nay, right? It was a pretty rough penalty for the Stars to take right out of the gate, was it not?
You know, officiating was weird in that it almost seems like the calls that were made were kind of forced. And if you wanted to penalize, you know, what I would consider to be normal fouls, I'm not sure that the ratio would have been all that different, but I think different calls would have been made. Getting down in that hole early, I think, was a little frustrating. And then I think also that, you know, the team took another shot when Ryan Suter's goal gets called back.
And we'll tackle those in detail because I want to get into both. I agree with you. The initial call, it felt like one of those games where the refs wanted to start with a statement. You know, the whole like, hey, this isn't going to be anything goes bare knuckle, right? Let's give it a couple games before we get there, boys. So I think that they called a couple of things early that were maybe on the more stringent side of the spectrum because they didn't want to have to deal with them late. You know, they wanted to almost settle things down early so that if and as the game went along, they had some room to escalate was my read. You know, you can agree with the need to do that and whether or not it's helpful or not, but that's kind of how I reconciled what got called early versus what didn't.
Yeah. And you know, it just confuses me. And I think it's maybe harder for the players to adjust yep. in that when you see that penalties are being dished out almost randomly, you don't really know what you can get away with. And then you take a look at some of the fairly blatant cross checks that took place. You know, Joe Pavelski spent a lot of time on his face in the middle of the crease. Yeah, I understand, but it didn't really play to the Stars' advantage where they want to play the you know, kind of roll the four lines, play a skilled game,
yep.
and then just to not know what's going to constitute a foul. And you almost look at it and you get a bit of a, you know, a complex and say, well, you know, we got obliterated in the crease, but you know darn well that Ryan Suter is going to cross check somebody, you know, Mark Stone in the middle of the crease, and he's going to get called for it.
Yeah.
And so what is the line? And I think the officials' business in all of this is to set a fairly consistent line. And at this point after game one, I'm not sure what that line is.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. Now, you mentioned the Suter goal. Was this controversial in your mind?
No, it was blatant. The thing about offside challenges, especially after, you know, every time the puck enters a zone, you know, there's a video coach there saying, was that legal or yep. not? And they just kind of put their finger up until the puck crosses outside of the zone again.
Yep.
So when an offside challenge gets made, it's either incredibly late in the game and incredibly close, or it's just blatantly offside and it's going to get overturned. And so once that was challenged, I kind of knew it was going to go that way.
I agree. And this is one of those things to me that and I want to be careful I don't pull the sour grapes thing. It was the absolute correct interpretation of a rule that I think is a little silly. And what I mean by that is I just think I feel like there needs to be an expiration, right? Like, yes, the play was offsides. The goal needed to be waved off. Those two things are true, but the Stars had a pretty sustained possession in the Knights zone. The Knights, I think you could argue, had an opportunity to clear it. The thing that bothers me, and I'll even take Vegas Dallas out of this, so it doesn't, you know, it's only like an 80% homer take, but it's one of those situations where I think that after some point you should be allowed to look at the situation and say, you know what? They didn't get the puck out. The call was missed. Play continued, right? At some point, I think that offside should expire. But again, that's more general rule chat in the context of last night's specific incident. Yeah, Pavelski, it looked like, couldn't quite get the puck over the line combined with Marchment, you know, barreling in. And yeah, he was off and it shouldn't count it. And to go from tied to down 2-0 so quickly, I thought was unfortunate. I was really impressed with the team kind of picking themselves up and ending the period within a goal. I thought Dallas responded really well from that situation. But yeah, it was not, you know, we talked in our preview cast with Tom about when you're the team with depth, you want things played at 5-on-5. So all four lines matter. When you're the team that's top loaded like Vegas is, you want things played on the power play and on special teams so you can throw your five best guys out there over and over and over again. We saw that on the power play, right? Who are the guys that scored and who are the guys that influenced the scores? And it was the big names for Vegas.
you know, I look at the offsides and I'm saying, you know, if Pavelski actually just let that puck go a little further, it wouldn't have been offsides. The fact is, slowed it down right on the blue line before coming across, and so Dallas really put themselves offside there.
Yep.
And it's just unfortunate. But
and I think it hits.
But yeah, and you know, the team fighting back from a 2-goal deficit that early on, I thought showed a lot of character.
But I think, you know, to your point, like the Pavelski goal is emblematic of it. And you know, on the Marchessault goal, I thought that started with a pretty terrible turnover by Harley, who and Miro as well, frankly. I thought your point in the preview, or sorry, the start of the cast about like Dallas out of the gate struggled badly. I thought it was almost like they didn't realize who they were playing. And when Vegas came in on the strong forecheck, and when Vegas was kind of putting the pressure on the defense, Dallas seemed really hard pressed to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It absolutely, it's almost like the Stars came out just playing Stars hockey and not amping it up to that next level for the playoffs. And it took really a fist to the jaw once or twice to wake them up and say, hey, this is a different beast. And once they did that, it evened out.
And now, do you think when we talk about evening out, because we always have to ask, how much of that was a product of it actually evening out, and how much of a product of it was a product of Vegas having a 2-goal lead in the postseason and going into a, you know, kind of a score effect mode?
I, you know, 50-50.
Yeah.
It was kind of a weird game because it's a, you know, Jamie Benn's goal. I've seen all sorts of, you know, Mike McKenna had this. Yeah, you have to have some pretty big cojones to pull that move off under that kind of pressure. And it's like, you know what? That's Jamie Benn's move.
Yeah, he tries that move all the time.
And it never goes in.
No. Never works.
And he just opened Logan Thompson up like he hadn't read the scouting report.
Yeah, it was. I agree with it. That is the Jamie special, right? Is trying for that move and the goalie just keeps the five hole closed and it doesn't go in. I thought David Castillo had a really interesting point about evaluating the process and not the result, and just kind of talking about like, it was a great play by Wyatt Johnston to win a 50-50 in the defensive zone and a fantastic pass to Jamie to spring Jamie on a breakaway. But at the same time, given the way that game was going, why on earth would you want to leave Wyatt Johnston in a defensive zone 50-50 against, you know what I mean? Like there was a lot of stuff in the buildup to that goal that kind of makes you cock your head as a Stars fan and think, is that really like, yeah, they scored, but is that really how you want to be rolling here?
Well, I'm going to push back a little bit on that. Cause when I read that, it's like,
get that David feud going. I love it. Let's do it.
The thing is the cherry picking, especially with the left winger is kind of something the Stars have developed this year, and Mason Marchment does it a lot. Ben usually isn't the one who's doing it. So I see that as kind of a good way for the Stars to relieve pressure.
Yep.
And I think you saw Cassidy even mention that in the intermission interview, where they know that if the Stars are cherry picking, they need to loosen up their defense to make sure that you don't get a breakaway. Now, the concern I think that is entirely valid is that the Stars were losing board battles left and right. And I think ultimately that was maybe the story of the game. And yes, the fact of the matter is that Wyatt Johnston finally won a board battle and was able to make that play, whereas the Stars were, you know, maybe winning 25% of the board battles if you take a look at the entire 60 minutes. And so that's the concern that I have is, you know, just losing those one-on-one confrontations on the board sets the tone. And how many times did the Vegas Golden Knights go in on their defensive end and just tic-tac-toe off of a board battle to having the puck going up through the neutral zone and into the offensive zone?
Yeah. So let me ask you this. How much of that is fixable if you're the Dallas Stars?
Well, I think a lot of it's fixable. A lot of it is just committing to winning those board battles and to applying the pressure. You know, it's the ultimate hockey, you know, fight. You have to win that board battle because that's the only way your pressure is effective. And if you don't win that board battle and you're still pressing, you're going to end up having, you know, opportunities going the other way.
Yeah.
The Stars lost that battle. Once the Stars got established, they were fine, except for the fact that a lot of their offense feeds through the point and we weren't getting point shots through. So that's maybe issue number two.
issue number two.
I think it all starts. It all starts with winning those individual board battles, and the Stars need to commit to doing that.
And I think as well, like winning the board battles can mean different things, right? And some of it is like the Johnston play and winning the physical battle. Others is, especially with Harley and Miro and on the defensive side of things, is passing around it. One of the things that struck me is all too often, the passing option that it almost reminded me of a rec league game when you get down a couple goals. All too often, the passing play that was there for the defense to make needed to go through two or if not three Golden Knights players, right? There were no, everything was to use, you know, football, right? Everything was a go route. And there just wasn't a lot of movement or availability in this kind of short to intermediate range. And I think that was putting even more emphasis on those board battles because, like I said, one way to win those is to avoid them by taking, you know, different passing or skating lanes. But if those aren't available, then you have to win them, and they weren't. And so I think those, I was a little bit surprised, and they largely got better, but it still popped up a little bit late. I was a little bit surprised and dismayed at Dallas's insistence to play these like long passes that just didn't seem to be there. And they never got
right. And that's kind of what Vegas was giving up.
Yep.
One of the ways at a high level, I always look at a game is who's making the easy play.
Yep.
And if you have an outlet as a defensive player, you can use that outlet to absolutely destroy a forecheck, because the last thing as a forechecker you want to be doing is chasing the puck. And the Stars on their forecheck were chasing the puck quite a bit, which meant that Vegas was making fairly easy plays back and forth between defenders, and that was opening up their entire transition game. And Vegas's forecheck was much more effective on making that first pass from a Dallas defender be somewhat difficult or at least challenged.
Yep.
And so I think that's something that that the Stars need to evaluate and start finding a place where they can get the puck to open ice without having to make a difficult pass.
Yeah. And the reality is during the regular season, I feel like that was peak Stars. Like when this team is going, it's not because they're doing incredibly complicated things. It's because they're executing the simple things quickly.
Yeah, because ultimately this is a team that has enough skill where if they can string together a couple passes, they're ultimately going to find somebody who has a mismatch or you get an odd number that's going the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, if we're looking for bright sides, right, thinking about the way that the tactics and the way that things work in the NHL postseason, to be down by two goals twice and to ultimately lose a one-goal game against the Vegas Golden Knights, like, if you're looking for reasons to be optimistic, it's that. You know, that's usually slam-the-door time, you know, good luck, sayonara against a team as good as Vegas. So they were in it throughout, even when they were, you know, falling behind. So it's none of this is, I think, to your earlier point, like, none of this is insurmountable. But the reality is they've now lost game one, and they've got to win, you know, more of the remaining games than Vegas does. And that's not going to be easy.
Yeah. And I mean, ultimately then you have to just go back and take a look at the goaltending, and Jake Ottinger had some rebound control issues, which came back to bite him. And you hate to say that you lost a game where Logan Thompson was entirely gettable.
Yeah. I mean,
one of the narratives going in here had to be, you know, Aiden Hill was in the Stars' head a little bit.
You know, yeah.
Stood on his head. And so the fact of the matter that you get a goaltender who's off his game a little bit and you still don't win, that's something you have to mentally get by.
Yeah. Like how worried are you about four goals on 15 shots against? Just strictly from an Ottinger perspective first.
I mean, some of the goals were pretty flukish. I was a little more concerned just on that when Ottinger's on his game, the puck sticks to him, and the puck really wasn't sticking to him on during game one. And so that's the concern, but it's not something that's the kind of thing he bounces back from. And the next thing you know, Ottinger's playing his game and it's just sticking to him and there are no rebounds. And that's kind of what I expect in game two.
Yeah. And I mean, it was also one of those, like, I think that if you look, this is the total old hockey man thing to say, but I think if you ignore the box score and you just look at the individual goals, on those plays, I have a very difficult time finding a ton of, like, you know, the tip, you know, Mark Stone's tip on the first goal. Like, okay, I'm not, if you want to hang that one on a goalie, please be my guest. That's ridiculous. You know, the second one, the Marchessault goal was a, you know, a bad Harley turnover. And I believe it was Jamie Benn not getting back in time. Like, okay, you're going to let a 40 goal scorer have an unblocked, unmolested one-timer from that close to the net. Like, he better score. You know what I mean? Like, these were in the hurdle goal was two tips, right? He tips, they Dallas loses a face-off clean, which, by the way, is supposed to be a calling card of the team, right? And then Hurdle tips the point shot and then gets the rebound at the tip of the point shot, right? So it's one of those, like, if you want to point to any one of those goals and tell me where Jake Oettinger is at fault, I will probably roll my eyes and listen. But it's more, though, that, you know, it's some of the team optics. It's the, honestly, a lot of the problems that they dealt with during the regular season was Jake Oettinger responsible for the Marchessault goal? No, but from a team defense perspective, it was a bad turnover and a poor defensive read and an excellent scoring chance against. And he wasn't able to make a, you know, good to great save to bail the team out.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's where I think I leave it. The team needs to tighten things down, and that doesn't necessarily fall on Oettinger.
No, this would, the story, you know, the story of a win last night would have been much more about Oettinger doing the spectacular than Oettinger doing the expected. Right? He was fine. I don't have any concerns coming out of last night. I have zero concerns about Dallas between the pipes. It's elsewhere, and in particular, for me, the story is that top defensive pair, and they're just going to need, especially because Dallas tends to load Harley and Haskinen on the same line, they're going to need a disproportionate amount of their transition game to come out of that duo. And they didn't play ready last night.
Yeah. And I'll throw in one more thing on the defense, and this is not unexpected, but, you know, the time on ice for Nils Lundqvist was just under 8 minutes. So the Stars are, in essence, you know, playing five defenders most of the time. So that I think throws off some rotations. And
it does.
It would be good to get Hawk and Paw back just to clean up the rotations.
Yeah, just because DeBoer will use him. And I think that this is one of the few criticisms that I think you can really level at DeBoer. And this isn't even a pro Lundqvist article at this point, but to what you're saying, right? He is running this team at a defensive deficit, which has an impact. And I think that it would be nice if he had figured out a way to not have to do that.
Yeah. And it means that you get some weird matchups in the middle of the game just because your rotations get off. So you saw a bit more of Haskinen and Suter at the same time, et cetera, et cetera. And so you can't just say, you know, hey, we're running Haskinen and Hart, and then we're running Tanev and Lindell. No, those get mixed up. And so maybe 50% of the time you're rolling through normal rotations, and otherwise you have some kind of hybrid system.
Yeah.
And that's hard to get consistency.
And the other piece of it is then in those 8 minute windows when you need him, it is awfully difficult to be in this. Again, I don't want to lapse into making excuses. We'll get into that in the offseason, I'm sure. But it is awfully difficult to be an NHL player, you know, to play defense and have an impact when you're playing 8 minutes a night. It's already a cauldron back there because of the way Vegas plays. The idea that somebody would be able to play that infrequently and contribute in any meaningful way. So you're effectively, and it's only 8 minutes, but you're effectively punting on those minutes because the odds that something good is going to happen, like you're going in with the mentality of, well, we'll just wait until the next shift and then we'll see if something happens. And it's just dangerous. You need those minutes, especially when you get down and especially when you're coming back. And it is a flaw in this, the way that this team is run. And it's a problem that there's not, you know, that without Hawk and Paw in the lineup, that's an 8 minute spot. That's just a problem.
Yeah. Now, what did you think about Dodonov slotting in on the fourth line instead of Smith?
Oh man, I think I get the reasoning, because if this team is going to go the distance, you're more like this team is more likely to be in the playoffs longer with a productive and healthy Evgeny Dadonov than Craig Smith. I do think you can see a little bit of rust on Daddy he's a guy that he was out for a very long time and he hasn't played much hockey. And it was a challenge at times to have reconstituting that fourth line that has been effective for the Stars, and B, it's awfully difficult to work your way back into NHL game shape in this environment, especially playing on a fourth line against a team like Vegas.
You know, just to switch up, I thought something needs to give at a certain point with the top line. It's not as cohesive a unit as it's been in the last couple of years. And I think it's almost to the point now where it's ineffective because it's trying to be effective in the old way.
Yeah.
They aren't quick enough as a unit in order to get on the forecheck effectively. And so they end up chasing the play, and you can't afford to waste Jason Robertson and Roope Hintz and what they bring to the game just to keep that line together.
Yeah. And I especially like to illustrate that point, how, and a lot of this was driven because Stankoven made a fantastic play, but like how seamless was that goal, right? And then as well, like how good did that line look earlier in the season when Wyatt Johnson was doing a spot duty?
You know, and here's some of this is
to pull the panic lever, but I see exactly what you're saying. And I do, hopefully it is a decision that this team can make in non-panic induced circumstances, but I think you're right. We are getting to the point where a very real decision needs to be made about the lineup role.
And well, and some of this is going to end up being matchups because, mm-hmm. you know, take Theodore and McNabb was the primary opponents on defense against the top line, and they did a fine job. So Vegas is a little weird in that they do tend to have six defenders who are there's no real weak link there, but certainly of the top three lines that the Stars bring, if you're playing the third pair, you're going to have a bit of an advantage, and so that's not something that the top line gets the luxury of doing.
And it's, yeah, and especially if, as Dadonov gets back into game shape, right, Dallas has another viable option up lineup. And I think it's fair to start asking that question. It is, like I said, it is really hard to ignore how good some of those combinations looked, not just last night, but at various points during the season, and think that, yeah, maybe in this series, when transition play and, you know, speed of play is such, you know, such a focal point, it might be time to look for a different solution on full time. You know, there'll still be shifts and, you know, special teams. There's still, I'm not saying turf Pavelski by any stretch. I think he's the version of this team that succeeds still needs him to play a prominent role. But I think that role is probably shifting.
Yeah. And we'll see how matchups work out, because certainly, you know, the White Cloud third pairing spent most of their time against the Duchesne line. Mm-hmm. And the Duchesne line did well against them.
Yeah. So, and I thought the Ben line play, there was a sequence, I think, in the second period where Ben had a little turnaround shot, and that line could have scored more than they did. So, you know, the other variable is maybe the solution is just get more out of the other two lines. But
well, that's kind of the way the team's built up is, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to find your weakness, and you don't have enough good players in order to shut down all three of our, you know, top lines.
If we poke at this long enough, the dam breaks.
Yeah, exactly. And so the top line taking out their top pair, even if they just play it to a standstill, fits into the system, because then the second line and the third line are going to end up having some matchups that they can be a little more dominant against.
Yeah.
And so it's like, pick your poison, Vegas. Who are you going to give the option to score? And I think the unfortunate thing for the Stars here was, you know, exactly what I said in the preview call. You can't afford to get down as a team, because then you're chasing, and Vegas as a team is it one that knows how to lock things down.
It's a hard thing to do, especially when you're down two, and especially when it's self-inflicted, right? The penalties thing. And it's not that Dallas took a ton, but again, you know, they weren't good penalties to take. And flip side, right? Dallas's power play didn't, you know, at one point it was a 2-goal game and Vegas was 2-0 on the power play and Dallas was not, right? So I think it's a, they're going to need something at some point, right? That unit's going to need to swing something.
Yeah, but I, again, game one, they got down early. They held their own, whether you want to call it score effects or whether you want to call it, you know, a veteran team fighting back. We'll see. That's what game two's about. What do you think is going to happen here in game two?
I mean, I think it's going to be more of the same. And it was a very tight game. I think it's going to remain a very tight game. I think that we will get a better performance out of the Dallas Stars defense, team defense, to be clear. I hope that we'll get a more assured performance out of, you know, especially Harley and Haskin in that top unit as they realize that, no, in fact, this isn't a brand new sport and they're excellent. And, you know, they'll revert more to career norms, right? Again, I don't see any alarm bells blinking. But at the same time, I also don't think that this was necessarily the best shot that you're going to see from the Vegas Golden Knights. And I think that the odds are, I think you're going to get a much more complete Stars performance. Whether or not that manifests in a Stars win, I think, is going to come down to, I think you hit it on the head earlier, right? Can they resolve the Vegas forecheck / board pressure? And if they can do that, if they can figure that out, then I think the Minnesota template becomes very appealing, because I don't think that Vegas, I think last night we just saw how Vegas wants to play this series. And if Dallas can find a way to cope with last night, then they're probably in good shape moving forward, but it's not exactly a given that they'll be able to. This is a deeper and better team than Minnesota was.
Yeah. So you don't foresee any major adjustments?
Personnel
stays the same?
I think the personnel stays the same unless Hakanpaa's healthy. I don't know his status, but I could definitely see, again, especially if you're only going to play Lundqvist 8 minutes a night and Hakanpaa's close, why not? Right. But I don't foresee a tight game one loss driven by a couple of power plays. I don't see that as the thing that's going to compel DeBoer to blow up his top line yet or to blow up his top pairing yet. And I certainly didn't see anything out of anybody else on the roster, again, that would warrant, yeah, if they lose game two, I think some of that stuff gets in play because, then you're really starting to worry. But I think you head into game two thinking, you know what? This is probably the, as good a version of Vegas as we're going to see. And we almost won the game. Let's see if we can put our best selves forward. And if that changes the result, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I'm fully with you. I think panicking is maybe the wrong thing to do here. And stick with what you got, figure out a couple of the details, board battles, relieving some of the defensive pressure, or the pressure on the defender, so that they can make simple plays instead of having to make challenged plays. And then, figure out a way to get the puck to the net, because, yeah, they have big guys and they're going to stay between you and the net, and shooting into shins is no way to score.
And the guy they're shooting on wasn't exactly ironclad either. So I think you're right. The opportunity here is, I didn't see, I think when we did predictions heading into the series, right, I figured I didn't necessarily think it was going to be guaranteed a long series. I thought all the games would be close. I saw nothing in game one that makes me change my opinion of this series in that it is a winnable series, that it will be a difficult series, that it is a losable series. I didn't see a single thing that makes me reevaluate fundamentally and say, oh, I didn't account for this, therefore everything changes. That game played out pretty much how I expect this series to play out.
Yeah. The one thing I might say, if Vegas may change goaltenders. That's the only thing I think might change.
Yeah, I could see that. Although, yeah, I could see that.
Well, Cassidy's kind of said that that he doesn't expect to have one guy roll the whole way. So,
and I think
if I'm trying to get in the Stars' head, I'm throwing out a goaltender who's shut him down before.
It certainly helps if you're trying to keep Dallas off balance. And I think as well, from a pressure perspective on the coaching side of things, seeing Boston go to Ullmark in game two and have Ullmark play well, like, I think it is, coaches, nobody wants to be first, right? So I think you are seeing the goalie switch in the playoffs become a little bit more normalized. So yeah, I could see if you're confident in Hill with his history against the Stars and knowing that you've probably got, you know, you're trying to play some mind games and you had a team with expectations and aspirations and you just stole a game. That's the totally the thing that could help get under their skin, because you know that DeBoer and the team are having the same conversation we have about Logan Thompson. It's like, hey, he didn't win this for him. We're not impressed here. Well, okay, throw a different guy out there and, you know, things get more uncomfortable.
Well, okey-doke. I think we got it all set up for game two.
It's there for the taking, lads. As always, Mark, thank you for the insights, jumping on day after the game. KT putting it together on short notice. This has been Stargazing, presented by Bet Online. Podcast over.
Ross has all the spring deals you want, so you can say yes to more looks for you and your budget. Tube tops for less? Yes. Dad shorts for the weekend? Yes. Mini skirts for less than online? That's a yes for you and your bank account. Find your certified yes for me moment and save 20 to 60% off department store prices every day at Ross. Hurry in for spring deals today. Items and styles vary by store.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.